say good morning to everyone and welcome to our worship service via conference call. We thank you so very much for being with us if you're visiting, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You're very honored and distinguished guest of the audience, and we appreciate having you on. And to those who may be visiting from other congregations, you too are welcome to our call as well. Well, for those of us, those who are not members of Hollow Heights, the Church of Christ, then we understand that you may not understand exactly what we believe. We believe that the Bible is right. And we believe that Jesus did hang on that cross. Never saw it with our eyes. We believe because of this book. We call the Bible, the Word of God, teaches us that he hung, bled, and died on the cross. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And he rose early on a Sunday morning with all power. And he gave the command that his gospel would be preached. And if a man would believe in and be baptized, they could be saved. That's what you'd have to do. He had you to the only church in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. It's the only one in there. If it was another one in there, I'd preach about it, but there's not another one in there. I'm going to have to stay with that one. Romans 16:16. Paul says, salute one another, holy kiss, the churches of Christ. Salute you. Yeah, so we thank you for being with us. Now, this morning, let's get right into our lesson. It's going to be more of an appeal to the heart this morning. There they preached the gospel. The gospel was preached. And the effect of the gospel is what I want to put emphasis on this morning. In Acts chapter 14, Paul had spoke before the Jews in the synagogue. But now, verse 1, it said, came to pass at Iconium, they went both together, Barnabas and Paul, they're talking about, into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake. That a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believes. See, people are starting to believe of all nationalities now. And so Paul and them are preaching the gospel. Verse 2, here comes the problem. But the unbelieving Jews, you know, stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected, meaning poison or bitter, against the brethren. Now, here's why. We need to pay attention to the people you're hanging out with. There are these unbelievers. They're not going to encourage you to do what God told you to do or to do it the way God said do it. That's what's going to happen with many people in the world who even call themselves Christians. They're really unbelievers. Unbelievers don't believe. They can believe in God, but not necessarily believe in Jesus. That's what was going on with the Jews. And today, in America, you would see unbelievers who believe in God, but they don't believe in the Bible. They believe in God, but they don't believe in baptism. They believe in God, but they don't believe in one church. They believe in God. They don't believe they have to go to worship. They believe in God, but they believe they can shack. They believe in God. They believe they don't have to live right. They believe in God, but they also believe they saved without ever obeying him. So, you know, you got unbelievers, meaning people who don't believe everything God has said. So that's what was going on here with the Jew. Now, are you an unbeliever on the call? So, well, I believe in Jesus. That doesn't make you a believer. It doesn't make you a believer. So if you say you believe in Jesus, a lot of people believe in Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, these were believers. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, now shall enter the kingdom of heaven. They're not going to heaven. So they didn't believe. These call him Lord. Did that make them okay? No. He said, many were saying to me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out devils and done many wonderful works. Jesus said in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 7, I will profess unto thee, who are these? These were so-called believers. But they're really unbelievers. I never knew you, he said. Your work of iniquity. I think all of us have to do that. Every one of us on this call have to decide, are we really believers? Do you believe in giving right? Do you believe in communion every Sunday? Do you believe you can forsake your sin and go to heaven? Do you believe you can live any kind of way and go to heaven? What do you really believe? Do you believe there's something after death? Are you in the Church of Christ because it may be something? I'm not sure yet. No, you won't know until you die. See, believing means we believe what this book says. Bottom line, if you don't believe what the Bible says, my friend, brothers and sisters in Christ, you are a unbeliever. And you're not going to go to heaven that way. to believe all of it. Everything in it. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, without belief, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. So you can't have 95% faith, but 95% belief. I don't believe in all of this, but I don't believe in this. Well, you're a believer. But here's what I want to talk about to us, all of us, as Christians, those who are believers. We believe that everything is right. I believe everything in the Bible is right. I believe there's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. I believe I can go to hell just like I can go to heaven. If I obey God, I can go to heaven. If I disobey God, I can go to hell. I believe that. You may not believe that, but I do. But here's you're going to have other people that may be in your friends or family members. It could be your wife. Could be your husband. Could be your significant other. Could be your children. Could be your mama. Could be your daddy. They believe in God. But they won't worship. They won't come with you. They're not going to go to worship. They're going to encourage you not to go. You don't have to do that. They may believe in God. We see this all the time. I think if everybody would look at themselves and listen to what you're saying and what you're thinking, you can define whether you're a true believer or unbeliever. So you have people that will be in your life that would evil affect your mind. They will poison you to believe that you don't have to go to church. They'll poison your mind to believe that any church will do. That's a constitutional freedom given by man. God never gave that. He never said any church would do. He never said, attend the church of your choice. People who say that are unbelievers, because there's only one God. There's no choice. There's no choice in Jesus. You can't attend any Jesus you want. You can't have any God you want, not from this book. And this same book said there's only one church. Ephesians 4 and verses 4. Unfortunately, many members of the church are unbelievers because they don't want to do everything the Bible says. And could that be you? Possibly. But there will be people that will evil affect your mind. That's the danger of being around negative people. People who can evil affect your mind, causing you to believe something that's not true. Let's go to verse 3. Long time they're bold, they speaking boldly in the Lord. Still talking about Paul and Barnabas. They bold, they're speaking the truth, just like I'm doing this morning. Just boldly saying what I need to say. People need to hear the truth. Which gave testimony to the word of his grace. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation and appeared to all men. When you preach Jesus, when you preach the truth of the Bible, you're preaching grace. Not saved by grace alone, but obedience. Obedience is required in order for grace to save you. That's what the world don't want us to believe. Everybody wants God to just save them without being obedient. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. This is when he comes back. Notice this. In verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. See that? And obey not. Know not, obey not. That'll get you in trouble right there. You don't know what to do with the Bible says because you ain't trying to learn what the Bible says, so you don't have the proper knowledge to know God. Then you're not going to know how to obey him if you're not going to get the knowledge and obey that, the gospel. How do you obey the gospel? Well, these people here are going to have trouble. He said, in flame and fire, he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So there's punishment coming to those who don't obey, who don't take the word of his grace, which is a grace that saves those who obey. That's what it will do. Because you will do just what Jesus told you to do. You will get baptized because he commanded it. You will be in the church called the Church of Christ. You will take communion every Sunday because you are a believer in the book called the Bible. And this book is full of grace and mercy. Anytime you preach Jesus, that's grace. Now notice what happens here. They boldly preached and gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders. These are miracles that was occurring back in the first century. Now these, we won't see miracles today as they saw miracles. We get ready to look at one here, but it won't happen today. This was given, and we can talk about that in other lessons. I've already done it in Acts chapter 1. Miracles were performed because they did not have the Bible. So the people could not believe, read what we are reading. Like we read the New Testament. They could not read. The apostle was preaching it to them. It was being wrote as they spoke it. It was the first time they ever heard this New Testament teaching. Jesus taught his apostles. Now the apostle was sharing his word. And so the apostle had to have a way to prove who they were. So they were granted signs and wonders that they could do by their hands. And verse 4 said, but the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Now, here is first century religious division, Judaism versus Christianity. What we have today is even worse than what they were dealing with. They were just dealing with Jews believing in Judaism, and they had these people called the Christians who just came on, called Christians first in Antioch. After Jesus come on the scene, he lives on the earth, they kill him and he's buried. Now these people obeying this Jesus, and they becoming what they call Christians, and Jews still want to live on the Old Testament. They still want the Jews to be the chosen people, and so now they're divided. What we have today, we have denominationalism. All of them get under the umbrella of Christianity. Everybody's a Christian in the denomination world. They say they're all Christians, okay? Now, but in reality, denominate means division. Denominate. Why do we call it denominationalism? Because they're divided. The world is divided on what we must do to go to heaven. You talk to a Baptist preacher, he's going to tell you one thing. Talk to a Methodist preacher, he's going to tell you another thing. Talk to a Pentecostal, he's going to tell you something else. All of them got the same book. Talk to a church choir, we're going to tell you something. As well as them. Who's right? How do you know who's right? Can you know who's right? Why are we divided? Well, it's simple. If you got a math book and you got four math teachers, all of them use the same book. Every one of them going to tell you 2 + 2 = 4. If you believe the math book and the teacher teaching from the math book, then you're not going to have any division because all four of them going to say the same thing. But if one of them say 2 + 2 = 6, and you're looking at the math book and it says 4, you got to make a decision now. Do you believe this teacher? Or do you believe this book that he's teaching from? That's what it comes down to. You want to believe the Baptist preacher? You're going to believe Brother Brooks. Which one of them saying the same thing the book says? It's the book that you got to believe. Not the man. But if the book said it, it behooves you. It behooves us to listen to the book. Speak where the Bible speaks. That's what we should do. Listen to what the Bible is saying. If I say what the Bible is saying, you have no problem. But once I change it, therein lies the problem. How do we get divided? Just like I just talked about. Put it in simple terms. In math. You understand math, but and the teacher. Everybody, you can be a child and understand what I just said. It's that simple. What is wrong with division? Well, the Bible teaches against it. 1 Corinthians 1:10, the Apostle Paul talked about it, even in the Church of Christ. We can be divided. It's wrong to be one congregation teaching one thing, another congregation teaching one thing. One of them base Mike, the other one don't base Mike. One says okay, the other one says not okay. Who's right? The Bible. There wouldn't be boxing in the Bible, then why are we beatboxing in worship? Who commanded that? Where did that come from? Did it come from the Bible? Did the Christians worship like that in the Bible? No, they didn't. I can tell you that. You would not read nowhere where they did it. They didn't praise dance. They didn't beatbox. They did not use instrumental music in worship of Christians, New Testament worship. They didn't do none of those things. What did they do? Sing, like we did this morning. Pray. They took a collection. They took the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And they heard the Word of God preached. Those are things you can find in the New Testament. So even in the Church of Christ, some have left. And maybe you're on the call, you visit with us from another career, and they're doing those things. I'm going to tell you, that's not scriptural. If it's not in the Bible, you shouldn't be doing it. Paul said this. He was talking to Christians. He was talking to Corinth congregation. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you." There it is, black and white. No division, zero. "That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So division is wrong. Was it wrong then when the Jews were divided with the Christians? Yes. And this is why I will continue to teach against religious division, because it just identifies unbelievers. If someone says, "I believe it's okay for us to just do whatever we want to do," that's an unbeliever. Again, we talk about people who are unbelievers. Let's look at verse 5. "And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled," so they're on the run. Paul and them having to get out of town. He left, went to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the region that lied around about. And verse 7 is where I want to land for my main thought. "And there they preached the gospel." That's my title right there. Paul is on the run. Paul's, they have, the people are trying to kill him. They're stoning him because they're teaching the truth. They're being assaulted for preaching the truth, for telling people the truth. They went to other cities. Now, we know what Paul preached. We heard him preaching. And he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the word of God, and he was coming down. "Y'all killed Jesus." That's what gospel preachers do. You got to let you know. They killed Jesus for you. And he died for you. That's what gospel preaching includes, the death of Jesus. And you got to know. Every person going to be saved must believe in the death of Jesus, or you would never be saved. You would never obey him, because you're not going to love him enough to obey him. That's why the gospel has to be preached in detail. I'm going to do that. But let's look at the result of it. See, they went, when the people didn't want to hear him, we learned that last week, they shake the dust out of feet. That's, I hope you got that message. I was telling many of us in the church, we fret over people not obeying you. At some point, all the thing we owe other people is love. Owe no man anything but love. You love them enough to tell them. You don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible. You don't have to try to convince them or just keep going on and on and on when the people are not listening. When a person is ready to obey the gospel, they're going to obey it because they love God and they love the truth and they're concerned about their own well-being. Should we tell them? Yes. Should we persuade them? Yes. How far do you go? To the point where they're just ignorant. They're not listening. They're not. Paul said, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. By burning record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they're going about to establish their own." Romans 10, 1 through 4. So some people want to be righteous in the way they want to be righteous. They're just ignoring what you're telling them because they don't want to do it. Wow, they're not believers in the book. Now, Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel. Now, here's where I want to put some time in this morning. In verse number 8, watch the result of preaching the gospel and the impact it can have on one life. One life. One. And the Bible shows this one man. It says, and there sat a certain man at Lystra. One man. Impotent in his feet. Being crippled from his mother's womb. Who never had walked. Think about this guy. He had never walked. The same heard Paul preach, speak. Paul was preaching the gospel. He was telling them Jesus done for him. Who steadfastly beholding Paul was looking at him. And he could tell that man had faith to be healed. This man had something that could heal me. He's preaching a healing message. And Paul said with a loud voice, stand up right on your feet. And notice that the man leaped and walked. Now notice, today people who claim they have this power would be saying, in the name of Jesus, get up right now. I tell you in the name of Jesus. Everybody hold their hand and pray. The person's still laying there. That didn't happen. You want to know why? Because they can't do that. These are miracles. When Paul said leap, Paul said stand up right, man leaped. He jumped straight up, if you know, leaped, and he started walking. This man had never walked. Now, amazed are the people who are looking at him, who knew this man had never walked. They are also developing a faith, because faith at that time had to be seen. For us, faith coming by hearing. They had to see, because the Bible wasn't finished. We must hear, and we read about this. And we believe it happened because we can read about it. We never saw this man walk. But the people that were there that day, the purpose of that miracle for them is for other people looking on saying, Paul and Barnabas got something that them other people don't have. What did they have? They were being guided by the Holy Spirit. God had given these ways for the apostle to confirm the word with signs. The signs were miracles. So this man leaping, if a lot of people watching it are going to also want to know more about Jesus because they see what the impact he's had on this one man. Now, that's the miracle side of it. But the impact when a person obey the gospel, this is why people need to hear the gospel because it can change sin-sick people. Sin-sick people is what I'm talking about. Matter of fact, the Pharisees and scribes questioned Jesus in Mark chapter 2, turn here, and verse 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, notice this, these people watching Jesus eat with what they call sinners. And they said to his disciples, how is it that he eat and drink with publicans and sinners? This is Jesus' answer. Here's the answer. Verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus pretty much said, the purpose for coming is for sin-sick people. Now, if a person don't know they're sin-sick or don't want to admit they're sin-sick, they're never going to go to the doctor. They're not coming to Jesus as their physician. So like these scribes and Pharisees. See, they looked at the other people as worse off, and they were, which some people do today. They look down on other people. But Jesus said, hey, pretty much just come back and say, hey, look here. I came to heal those who are sick. Sin sick. Now, anyone on the call this morning can admit that you're sin sick. That you have a sickness called sin, and you are a sinner that needs spiritual healing, that need disposition, I'm talking about called Jesus, that need to follow his prescription, that he writes. But see, it's in the book. Here's the book. This is the physician's manual we're reading from today. It's called a Bible. It's the physician's manual. This is where he put the information in for people who are sick enough to realize they're sick, they're sin sick, and here's this, he writes the prescription in his book. All we got to do is follow it. And if you don't know you're a sinner, I'll be the first to tell you. All have sinned, according to the Bible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you can admit you're sick, the gospel is for you. This gospel must be preached to you in order for you to be saved. How do you know that, Brother Brooke? Mark 16:15-16. Jesus said it. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Didn't leave nobody out. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There comes the believer. The believer will be baptized and that person will be saved because they're a believer. Now let's go back to Acts 14. Go to verse 8 now. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, going back here, impotent at in his feet. Notice that. The cripple from mother's womb. Notice that. Had never walked. Many people, now I'm dealing with sense here. I'm just making an application here from physical. He was dealing with physical. I'm dealing with spiritual. The application is spiritual sickness. Many people today are spiritually sick and have been sick since their mother's womb. Have not made no changes in their lives. Many people today have never walked spiritually with Jesus in their life. Many people today have never admitted. Many people today have been dependent on others rather than listening for the truth in them. So they're going along with what everybody tells them. This man was paying attention to what Paul was telling him directly. And until you decide to pay attention directly to what the Bible is saying to you, you'll listen to anything. You'll listen to anybody. And many people are being misled by their own mamas and daddies and sisters and brothers who don't believe in the Bible, right? They got their own belief system and they're influencing you to believe like you want to believe, like they believe. We believe like the Bible believes. At some point, as this man did, he had to pay attention to what Paul was saying. He's crippled, he's sick, and he know he needs help. Listen to verse 9. Then the same heard Paul speak. He's preaching the gospel. Steadfastly beholding, Paul's looking at him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. He said, stand upright on our feet, and he leaped and walked. Paul was preaching the gospel, and noticed this guy had faith. I done seen it happen over and over and over. Times I'd be preaching from the pulpit looking at the audience. I can tell there are some people who, I know I got their attention when they lean forward and they're listening to me intently. They're not doing anything but listening. Everything I'm saying, they are ready to hear it because they know they need help. I done seen it happen. And as soon as I get an invitation, they run to the front. I done seen it happen over and over and over because people, when they're ready to make change, they want to know. And if the change is basic and simple, that's why I'm not impressed with me and using big old words and try to be intellectual. People just want to know basic truths. Basic truths. Basic truths that people can understand and know what to do so they can get up and walk with Jesus. Somebody today on this call, no doubt, many people on this call need to hear the word of God and stop listening to what other people say, too dependent on everybody else. Depend on the Bible to be right. Start reading it. I dare you to read behind me. Check me out. Test everything I say. Read it. You'll read yourself right out of the Baptist Church into the Church of Christ. That's all you can't do nothing else. Because you ain't never find it in there. That's why I'm not in it anymore. Gotta put down on the people. All good people. It's not about the people. It's about what we were taught. Not in the Bible. It's just not there. When are you going to listen? I mean, impotent people. This man was impotent. Here's a spiritual application. People who are weak and feeble. And maybe somebody on the call this morning, you finally made up your mind that you're ready to listen to the Bible, listen to the Word of God, because you realize that you're feeble, you're weak, you're impotent. You're without power to help yourself. You're tired. You've been in the same old rut spiritually. We're talking to members of the church who have not repented, have not restored back to the Lord. You doing the same thing you were doing last year this time, and the year before that, and the year before that. You're in a spiritual rut. Just like going in circles. Same old situation. Are you tired yet? Are you tired of being in the same old rut, trying to make it on your own? Tired of finding yourself sitting in the same spot throughout your life? Aren't you ready for some change? Well, you need to hear the gospel preached and obey it. Stop blaming God for your mistakes. Stop blaming everyone else for your mistakes. Stop blaming everyone else for your stagnations or your falls or your failures. You got to look in the mirror. Every one of us got to look in the mirror, or we will blame everybody but ourselves. If you are miserable in life, look at you. Who's doing it? You. You focused on everything that's going wrong in your life, nothing good. And when you start focusing on the good, just waking up in the morning, something positive. No, I'm sick. Sick people. When we can't see nothing good in life, we're sick. Eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. You're a Christian. You can say positive things, stay positive. But when you're sin sick, you really ain't got nothing positive to talk about, do you? What about people who are weak and feeble and on the verge of giving up? Or have you given up? Would you admit it? You're not going to ever do better until you admit you need help. I mean, how many have tried over and over to stop seeing it? Now you just, this is just the way it's going to be. No, it don't have to be the way it's going to be. Anybody on the call who say you have nowhere else to turn now? I mean, are you turning to God today? Are you on the call because somebody invited you? And you're just going along with it to get along? Are you really on the call to hear what to do? Sometimes you seem crazy. You're just on the call because you have to. You're on the call because every Sunday I got to get on the call. But when do you get on the call? Or when do you go to the building because you need help? You need to help. Who on the call may be depressed or stressed out from the burdens and troubles of life presenting you? Your life is headed down a dead-end street and you can't see the end. Why is that the case? You're impotent. You without power to help yourself. That's what I'm saying. When people see they can't do this on their own, then you turn to God who can do it. That's why you got to hear the word preached to you. You got to hear the gospel preached. There are cases such as maybe your situation is you got to admit, you know, you caught up on these drugs, and this drug is crippling you. You're lame because of it. And today, it can be prescription medications such as oxycodone or Vicodin or Xanax. People hooked on this stuff, opioids. And they're around their family knowing they have an addiction. You can't help yourself with that. You need God. You're impotent. You're crippled by this thing. Maybe it's alcohol that's crippling you. Maybe you're crippled by a sexual addiction. It is the sin that you, God, in the dark know. There's something going on. You have addiction. You have a sin sickness. You're impotent to help yourself out of this situation. You need God. That's my point today. You can get up and walk and do better, but not until you know it, not until you admit it. All kind of sexual addictions out there. Pornography. Homosexuality. Not a bad. People say, well, you know, homophobic or whatever the words are that means that you're against. I'm against sin. Sin is wrong. Period. So homosexuality is no worse than murder or lying. All three of them are called sin. But it's wrong. And you need to know you can't go to heaven because that is a sin sickness. God made man and woman. And what God joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, we got to be really careful with this because the world is pushing this down our throat now. Our government is pushing it down our throat. But we don't buy into that. We don't go along with it. Neither do we agree to it. Neither will we abide by that. Neither will I ever teach it. I'm going to teach it's wrong. You'll never see us do same-sex marriage. That's wrong. And anyone who supports it is wrong. Just so for you political people, be careful what you support. Sin is sin. Just like homosexuality, it's a sexual addiction. Now, even if you get AIDS, they got a medication that they tell you on TV. Hey, you can't give it to nobody else. We got the medication. You just keep on having sex, but you're not going to transmit it to anyone else because we got a pill now. It's okay to have AIDS. We got a pill now. Why is it we got men kissing on TV in front of us? Our children are looking at it. You know, now they're saying they don't want, they're trying to teach us against saying mom and dad anymore. Why? What's going wrong? I can't say mom in school or my dad, dad because I don't know if it's a woman or a man. My mother could be a man. My dad could be a woman. Is that what's going on? Well, you know what I know. You know what's going on. I know what's going on. It's sin. It is sin. It's wrong. And it's going to get worse to the parents on the call. Be careful. Because what we're seeing in our generation is going to get worse. Now is the time to implant in our children a faith that will save them. A belief that's a Bible belief. And they won't fall for some of this stuff that they're going to hear in school now. It's a sad world we live in, but it's always been sad. This is nothing new, really. Nothing new under the sun. It just tells us it's going to wax worse and worse. The Bible tells us that. You got child predators. These sin sick people who prey on children, molest them. Imagine that. Some grown man touching a baby or a young girl. That's a sin sick man. He's sick. That's a sick man that'll mess with a child. What do you do for people like that? They need to hear the gospel. People need it. The people that hear the gospel and believe can change. They'll make change. Maybe that's why you're on the call today. You didn't accidentally come over here. You got invited, but now you're hearing some things you kind of got to give some thought to or hang up one of the two. Maybe you can do that. I'm not encouraging that, but that's an option. I get it. I get that. I mean, can anybody stop you, right? You do what you want to do. Ain't that what people say? I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. Sure, you can. There are consequences, though. And I say to people, if you hang up now, you probably just, already heard enough to condemn yourself. That's what's going on. The Word of God will do that today, Brother Brooke. It's the word I'm saying, the truth that I'm talking about, the boldness in my conversation with you this morning. And do it apply to me? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Just as much to me as it do to you. But I got to put my own two shoes on. How about you? Somebody crippled by sin. You got to sin and say, don't nobody know but you. I understand. But that's where unbelief came in. See, there is someone who knows about what your secret is. You want to know who it is? God knows. He knows everything you think. You're not getting away with nothing. None of us will. In Hebrews 4:13, it said, neither there are any creature that not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Naked and open. Brother, sister, we don't get away with nothing. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter with a fear of God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing. So you have a secret sin that is only a secret to you, but not a secret to God. And that thing bothers you. And you're on the call this morning, and it's bothering you. And some of the things I'm saying are bothering you because you still got a conscience. Pat yourself on the back for that one. If you are bothered by some of the things I'm saying, that means your conscience is not serious yet. You can still make change. And it all happens in your mind. Just like those thoughts that you're having that nobody knows about. But you and God, it's thoughts. And I'm coming in there this morning through your ear, right into that same mind of yours. I'm implanting the Word of God in there, trying to get you to think about what I'm saying and make the application for yourself. You know, there's other people who are sick and feeble. They're victims, though. So what about people who've been raped before? People who've been molested? Or maybe your wife has been sexually abused by your own husband. Victim. You have to go through the motion. You hate it. Because he's never nice to you until he gets big. As some call, the brothers even know, call spousal rape when a woman's not willing just because you married her to her. You know what brings us together? Love. If a man love a woman, he won't mistreat her. A woman love a man, she won't mistreat him, she'll submit to him. Love brings us together, y'all. Why? God is love. There's your answer. But if you're on the call and you weren't a victim of talking about it, you don't have to give up. Just admit it. And stand up and get up and serve God. Obey the gospel. Maybe you're on the call and you're a man and you saw how your daddy treated your mother. And you say, I'll never be like that. But now you see, now that you got a woman, you kind of see some of the same traits. You have some of the same tendencies that you saw in your dad, Maybe you need to look in the mirror. Maybe you look more like your dad than you want to. Don't you think it's time to change? Don't you think it's time to admit it, really, that you just haven't been the man you should be, but now's a good time to start. What about a mother, a woman who just haven't been a mama like your mama was. You saw her. Good mother you had. But you neglecting your children. You're talking to your children any kind of way. You're leaving your children with your grandmother. With their grandmother. She has your grandmother, she's in her 80s having to raise your children so you can live your good little life. If you had those children, then you ought to take care of them. But I'm sure if I was at the building, I wouldn't be getting a lot of amens right now. Everybody would probably be real quiet because they don't understand. When I'm coming down your street, I'm trying to catch everybody. Maybe somebody who need to hear this gospel today because you're crippled by the fact that you know you don't have no relationship with God. You know if you die right now. You know it. You just know already that if something happened to you right now, you are out of touch with God. And you know you're not going to go to heaven. You already know you couldn't. You don't want it. Lord, yep, give me some time. I need some time to get right. Yeah, I know you do. But when time ain't on our side. Time belongs to God. Don't you know that? Every tick of the clock is a chance by God. He's been fair. How many chances have he given you? How old are you? How long you been living? How long you been without a relationship with him? When are you going to start? Have you not had enough time yet? Maybe you're crippled by the fact that you're not at peace. Not at peace with God. You know without God in your life, if you don't do something, your troubles are going to continue like they are. You're right where you are because you won't obey him. You know you need to, but you're just not, I'm not ready yet. You're not ready, I know. Will you ever get ready? So I'm talking about just one word about sick people, about this physical sick, spiritually sick. And if we are there, the only answer is what Paul them said is that they preach the gospel to them. That's what he was doing. He went there to make change in these people's lives. What's stopping you from obeying? Is it your life? Is it your heart? What would cause you to obey? What about the fact that your life is vanishing before you? Think about it. Our lives is just a vapor. You all? Every day we live is a day closer to the box day, which is the grave. Every day we live is just a day closer. Life is going to end. These bodies are not going to last, you all. They're not designed to last. 60, 70, 80. If by reason 40, that's 80. By reason of strength, meaning is the body, heart strong enough to last much longer? It's not designed to. So when do you realize I need to make some changes? Maybe somebody here on the call have spiritual issues when it comes to your marriage, and now you need to admit that the reason the marriage is in trouble because of you. And now you're having a marital problem, but you've been blaming the other person. It takes two to make a marriage. You know that, right? Or maybe you have health problems. Now it's time to get some things together because you're seeing, you know, your life is vanishing. You're depressed or you need help. Your past is haunting you. You have not been a father you should have been. You haven't been a mother. Perhaps there's some senior people on the call. You're in your golden years and you're still trying to make it. You still haven't decided to become faithful to God. Maybe you can be 70, 80 years old and still need to be baptized, but your pride got you. You just think you're so old that you're smart enough there and you're good enough that you're just good enough to go to heaven. You know, you just, when you get older, you stop doing a lot of things that you were doing when you were younger. That don't mean you're saved, though. You still need to get baptized, just like God commanded you to. Just like he commands. Age don't get you to heaven. Just because you get older and you get it nicer. Most people do. Nicer. That's what we think they're at their best. You know, grandma, a good one. Well, what was grandma like when she was 40, 50? I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying people, just because you good when you get up in age, doesn't mean you're saved. You still got to be forgiven of all the sins you've done in your life. Then God gives you that example through the preaching of the gospel. He tells them what to do. So sure, I'm coming down, old people, young people. Maybe there's some young adults need to be more serious about your relationship with God. Let go of your party friends. Maybe you need to stop going to clubs. Well, COVID shut you down a little bit, didn't it? But they opened it back up. You'd be able to get back your party pants on. Is that what you're going to do? Stop going to the casinos and going back to gambling as soon as they open them up. Maybe you know you love drinking. I mean, you're a young adult and you like to get out there and do your thing. Or maybe you're a young adult and you decide, hey, I got me a woman, I got me a man, and I know marriage is what God would want, but right now that's not for me. Okay. Just remember, you can't go to heaven like that. So maybe you got a boyfriend or girlfriend in your life just need to let go of because they're taking you down the road of destruction. They're not trying to do right. They're not trying to live right. They're not trying to influence you to do right. And to our children as I close. They may be listening. Hopefully some of them on the call listening with their parents. Maybe you got to admit that you have problems too. And one is that you're a disobedient child to your parents. And you're about to drive your mama crazy. I mean, there's some teenagers that can absolutely drive their mothers to the grave early. Because of the way you talk to them, the way you act around them, the way you cut up. So a mother will worry about her children. And you are worrying your parents by your actions. By the way you talk back to them. Or the way you just gotta have your way. What is going on with that? You're in the same position that I was talking about the adults and the young adults and the senior adults. And you've got the same problem. You've got a sin sickness. And you need to get some help. And the way you get help is by listening to the gospel and I'm giving you what you need to do. Then you will stop talking back to your mama. My mother would always say this. I always got my attention. Anybody been listening to me preach, I've probably said it a thousand times. She said this to me. You only get one mama. And when I'm gone, you don't get another one. And I hope some of these children listen and understand what I just said, what my mama said, the impact it had on my mind, is that I got one mama and I'm not going to be the one to send her to a grave. And some of you children that listen to me, especially some of you teenagers, exactly what you're going to do. If you don't stop what you're doing, you only get one mama. It's time for you to stop talking back. You ought to apologize. I preached a sermon similar to this one time. I was in, San Antonio, Austin. 25 young folk obeyed the gospel. Why, the gospel changed their life. Emphasis on what Jesus done for them. And pointing out these kind of things. That there are young people who don't want to do this no more. They want to make change. It's time for you to stop making your mother cry over you. Who do they have our trust? Is it a child? Is it a parent? Is it a mother? Is it a grandmother? Is it a father or grandfather? Is it a young adult? Who this morning can be reached by the gospel? What this man that Paul called, what did he, Paul said the man was, Paul was looking intently at him because he could tell that man had an interest in being healed. And when the man done what Paul said, Paul simply told him to stand up around your feet. And he leaped. Here's what you got to do. Will you listen to me this morning? Here's what you got to do. I want to tell you that you can stand upright. You can get it right. You can do it. Because all Paul was doing was preaching the gospel to them. And here's what you do when you preach the gospel. You preach the word. Yes, you do. And I preached the word this morning. They come by here and hear by the word of God. But more specifically, what Paul was teaching them is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4. He said this, "Moreover, brother, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you," see that? "Which also you have received where you stand, by which also you're saved, you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Now, Lord, watch what he told me. He said, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture." So when he preached the gospel, he's teaching them about how did Jesus die for our sins. Well, here's how he died. He was only about 33 years old after he lived a life as a man. He cried to his father like a man, asked to let this cup pass, and the father didn't respond. And he went to do his father's will, which means he knew once he left that Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that he had to go and face Pilate. And when he faced Pilate, Pilate had him beat with a whip. So Paul is telling them this story, and I'm telling you this story. This story called the gospel should impact your life because Jesus was beat with a whip to get you out of your situation. I just went through pointing out all these different situations we can be in. Jesus had to wear a crown of thorns. Jesus had to carry a tree up to Calvary. Jesus then had to lay there and let them drive nails in his hands and his feet. And Jesus then was hung between the two thieves on this cross called execution. Today we execute men. They execute men for with a needle put in the arm. They just go to sleep. Jesus wasn't executed with no needle. He had to hang and suffer for you. He had to hang there to get you out of your situation and give you the opportunity to come out. He said, "I came for those who were sick." When you see yourself sick, then you see a Savior on the cross who's suffering, saying to you, "Come to me. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Jesus is calling you from your world of sickness, of sin sickness. He's trying to call you to him, and he calls you from the gospel. He calls you from the cross. That's where he said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me." So Jesus calls from the cross. He's calling you to come. He said, "Look at what I'm going through for you. I'm dying for you. I'm suffering for you. I want to help you, but do you want help for yourself?" Then when you believe he did all that for you, then you'll believe they took him down and buried him in the tomb. You'll believe he resurrected Sunday morning. Why did he do all that? To save you from your soul. The gospel must be preached. Men and women must hear it, number one. You must believe it, number two. In the verses of Acts 15:7, for hear and believe. Number three, you got to repent, Luke 13:3. I mean, you got to make a decision. I can't keep living like this. I got to make a change. Turn to God. Turn to Jesus. He's calling you. He's calling you to change. Confess him to be the Son of God before men. You can do that on the call. You can say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God." And we'll all hear you. That's the fourth step. You got to say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God." You can't be ashamed of it. And then after you do that, you got to be baptized. Why? It's commanded. Commanded by Jesus. Mark 16:15. I quoted it already. It's for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. It's when your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1:5. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. By one spirit, all baptized into one church. Then you go into one church. That one church. Well, remember I gave you the math thing. 2 + 2 = 4. Right? The book says Church of Christ. Believe the book. Then you find the right church. You don't have to guess no more. And that's the only one in there. Somebody said, "Well, Pentecost is in there." That was a day. That wasn't a church. They said day of Pentecost. It wasn't a church. No such thing as a Pentecostal church. It was a day called Pentecost. See, so I'm doing this because all of us need it. Every one of us need to hear this message. If nobody left out, I had to hear it. You have to hear it. We all have to make our own judgment about our own lives. But I can tell you this. Jesus said, he that rejected me, receiving not my word, had one that judged him. The words that I've spoken, the same, would judge in the last day. So these very words you read from this book would be open unto their judgment. If you reject God, you rejected the word. You reject the word. You rejected Christ. You reject Christ, you'll lose your soul. If you want to call this morning, you want to be saved, I'll give you the five steps. And after you become a Christian, then you must live faithful. That's six steps. You must live faithful unto death. Then God will give you a crown of life.